Well, good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru. Glad to be back with you this morning. I am a little frustrated with myself. I have apparently forgotten how to park a vehicle. I can't hit a parking spot squarely. If there's money on it, I couldn't hit it. I don't know what's happening with my parking ability. Maybe it's age, eyesight, coordination, maybe a combination of all three. I think it's the fact that I can't use my mirrors anymore. I forgot how. I use the camera. Now, my new F-150 has a 360-degree camera, which kind of looks, it gives you on the screen basically a visual of what the vehicle looks like from about 20 feet above. And so you can kind of see everything around you. And it makes it easier to hit the spot squarely. However, I still manage to screw up. Sometimes I get out of the car and say, what? I can't believe I did that. We were in Cincinnati this weekend, went to visit my grandson, and the parking garages are not F-150 friendly. They are high enough, but they're just the spaces. I think they're trying to encourage people not to drive trucks, full-size trucks. They want people to drive small things in the big city. But anyway, I was backing up last week and backed into a brand new, well, almost new 2020 Indian motorcycle, a Challenger with fancy side saddlebags, hard fiberglass bags, and a fairing. I was so lucky not to have knocked that thing over, but I was in a 1962 Corvair ramp side and had a big old garbage can in the back. I think I mentioned it on the radio show, but it's amazing how your mind and your eyes and your body adapts to new technology, because it makes it evident that, you need it, and you have forgotten how to do certain things that used to be rudimentary, however you say it. I had just gotten on my wife pretty good a couple weeks ago for backing her Lincoln into a trailer I had parked in the driveway in a bad spot. It was really my fault, but anyway, I was giving her a hard time, and here I do the same thing, except, oh, I'm so glad I didn't knock that motorcycle over. I just scraped it pretty good in the saddlebags. So I called my insurance agent, and I've been talking to her on the phone today, as a matter of fact, and she said, now, what did you do? Now, what did you hit it with? And, those are uncomfortable conversations. So we have a lot of cars on this lot. We have We probably file anywhere from 15 to 20 claims a year on little bumps and scratches here and there. Occasionally, we will do a no-no to a customer's vehicle, where it gets scraped, either, opening a door into a repair lift or something. I mean, I'm very forgiving when it comes to stuff like that, but sometimes my customers are not. And I understand it. They did not bring their car here for us to damage it. But that just happens. You could actually go to Walmart and somebody could let loose a shopping cart. Has that ever happened to you? That's irritating. It's also irritating when your Lincoln Continental gets egged. That happened to my daughter the other day. My wife has been driving a Lincoln Continental, and we are getting ready to, the lease is about to expire, so Audra decided to take it over for the last few months to haul the little kitties around, and she parked it on the street, and somebody egged it. That's got tri-coat paint. It's the most expensive kind of a paint job that you can have on a car, and I hope it didn't ruin it. But if it did, that's what insurance is for, right? Insurance is a great thing, but I tell you what, the most important thing about insurance is to have the right agent. And also have the right company behind those agents that are willing to support you when you run into an Indian motorcycle, damage your 1962 Corvair, or your wife backs into a trailer that you shouldn't have parked where you did, or somebody decides to throw perfectly edible eggs at a Lincoln Continental. Do you shop around for insurance? I can honestly admit that I do not shop around for insurance because of the relationships that I have had for many years. We've been with this same agency, I'm going to guess 40 years probably. And it's McInturf, Milligan, and Brooks in Greenville. And our policies are written through a company called Westfield. And, you know, been a lot of people over the years want to quote our insurance. And I probably have. I just can't recall allowing them a quote. But typically, I mean, they've never even come close, so I just stick with the same folks. You know, when an insurance company gets experience with you, and they don't, and they have good experience overall, I mean, you can have a couple bad years in a row, and they'll be very forgiving. They won't raise your rates or anything like that. But it's the folks that jump around all the time that I think pay an extreme price for that at times, with higher rates, less loyalty on the part of the insurance company. So that's an important relationship to have when you own cars and houses and toys and such. But an insurance company is only as good as their claims adjusters. What do they do when you need them? And that is a true test. And I can definitely, I don't want to get sued because of what I say, but there are some pretty major companies out there that have terrible claim service, especially if you have an older car and they start beating you up on values and you have to compare the actual, let's say you've pretty much totaled a car, and then it's time to start figuring out, well, what was the value of that car when you wrecked it? Well, it's not worth what you paid for it when it was new. And it's not worth what it was worth a year ago. So, in fact, in today's time, it's probably worth more than it was a year ago. So if you total your car, make sure that you are getting fair market value for your vehicle. I can't tell you how many times people call me as a result of this radio show saying, Lenny, I need to know what my car's worth. And I say, why? I said, because the insurance company is trying to take advantage of me, I think. And in some cases, I have found out, no, they're being very fair with you. And other times I've found, yeah, they're not paying you what your car is worth. So if you find yourself in that type of situation, call me. My cell phone number is 423-552-2020. We'll talk about values and what your vehicle is worth, just as if I were buying it. And I'll write you an offer and an appraisal and put it on our letterhead, and then you can use that as evidence against your insurance company, or at least as a negotiating tool to maybe get more money. And sometimes I've actually had the agents call me, and I kind of represent the radio show listener. It's something that I don't mind helping you do. So give me a call. Anyway, we'll take our first break and be back in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. Are you careful with what you touch? You know, with all this pandemic stuff, I mean, I've changed the way I walk out of public restrooms. I wash my hands. I dry them off with the towel, if they're with the paper towel, if they're there. Sometimes you have to use those blower things, which I don't like. But so I dry my hands off, and then I open the door with using the paper towel, and then I throw it in the garbage. I see a lot of people must do that because I see little paper towels laying all over the place. But, you know, you got to be careful what you touch. And then you got to make sure you don't touch your face after you touch it. Well, guess what? You're touching something every day that's probably the nastiest thing that you could possibly touch. Where is it? It's in your car. And what is it? It's your steering wheel. That's right. 2017 list from WebMD said that of all the germy things that you touch every day, thinking about like smartphones, computer keyboards, dog toys, shopping carts, even the office coffee maker, the most nasty thing that you typically touch, the one that has the most germs on it, is your steering wheel. The average American spends about 17,600 minutes behind the wheel every year, but doesn't spend nearly enough time cleaning the inside of the car. I see it every day when people trade cars. I'm going to be more careful. You think the customers will be offended if they see me putting on plastic gloves before I get into their car? I think they might. But it is something that we need to be concerned about. A survey from CarRentals.com found that only 32% of car owners clean the inside of their car, and they only do so once a year, 32%. And 12% never clean the inside of the car at all. Never. Frankly, that's pretty gross, isn't it? Especially considering that most drivers also eat and drink while they're on the road. So what's breeding in the cabin of your car? Well, there's only about 700 different strains of bacteria. And that habit of eating and drinking and then touching your car's interior surfaces makes things even worse. Consider that any food or liquid you drop or spill creates a perfect environment. It's dark, it's confined, it's exposed to plenty of temperature changes, and it's just perfect for breeding bacteria. Your steering wheel is 6 times dirtier than your smartphone screen, 4 times nastier than the seat of a public toilet, and twice as filthy as the buttons in an elevator. Are you grossed out yet? I am. Furthermore, the car rental study noted when you fill up on gas, that pump handle is likely to be 11,835 times dirtier than a public toilet seat. I'm going to turn a bunch of people into germaphobes if I'm not careful. You know, even the most fastidious car owners, those who clean their interiors more often than the average, probably don't disinfect their hands every time they stop for a fill-up. Those germs immediately get transferred to your door handles, your gear shift, and your steering wheel. So what's a driver to do to keep their car germ-free? Well, they recommend that you wipe down surfaces like the steering wheel, gear shift, door handles, and audio controls. And don't forget your keys and use sanitizer wipes. Just keep them in your car. You can also spray a disinfectant like Lysol into your air filter's vent the next time you change it to prevent germs from building up and recycling through your car every time you turn on the heat or the air conditioning. Now, that's that, the vent. You have basically a filter that's in your glove box. Most of them are in the glove box. And, gosh, it's so important to change those things, too. I mean, just think about all this. We wonder why we get sick so often, right? But I guess our bodies have developed enough natural immunity to a lot of this stuff that we just kind of fight it off. And I guess, I mean, you can't get away from germs. And please, don't become a germaphobe because of my car guru. That's not the purpose. Just wipe your car down every now and then. This was a study that was done in England, so maybe they're not. Maybe the people over there are a little more careless than we are, so don't totally freak out. But they found that the steering wheel, the driver's seat floor, the rear seats, and the gear shift had an average of 700 bacteria per 10 square centimeters. That's 1.5 square inches. The worst area, though, was the trunk. It had 1,000 bacteria per 10 square centimeters. I don't understand that unless people are keeping a lot of nastiness in their trunk. Who knows? Just one more thing to worry about. Well, here's another. You know, you can worry about your tires because your tires have a shelf life. Yes, we are going into fall and winter, and the demands on our tires are going to be greater than usual because not only do they have to grip the road, that road happens to have ice and a lot of rain on it, and so we need to be prepared. And what do most people do? Nothing. But the second most people actually check their tread depth to make sure they have adequate tread on their tires. Make sure that when you're checking your tread depth, you're checking across the width of the tire and not just in the center. Because if the tire is worn, you know, on the outer edges, that does a lot of the turning and braking and steering. If your tires are wearing in the center, it's probably because they're overinflated. If they're wearing on the outside edges evenly, it's probably because they're underinflated, and so keep those pressures up. Get nitrogen put in your tires. They will hold their air or their pressures longer if you use pure nitrogen than if you use just normal, everyday, breathable air. But your tires might be old, and if that is the case, they're probably dangerous. 2008, the owner of a 98 Explorer in Georgia needed a new tire for his SUV, so what did he do? He bought a used one. And when he was driving 2 weeks later, the tread suddenly separated from the tire. The Explorer went out of control and hit a motorcycle, and it killed its rider. The analysis of the tread revealed that it was nearly 10 years old. In a more recent high-profile example, the investigation into the cause of a 2013 accident that killed actor Paul Walker revealed that the Porsche Carrera GT in which he was riding had 9-year-old tires on it. The California Highway Patrol noted that the tires' age might have compromised their drivability and handling characteristics. So it can definitely make a difference. And basically what this does, it illustrates the potential danger of buying used tires and the danger of driving on tires that are aging, including those that have never even been on the road. You know, you can buy tires that have been in storage at a warehouse someplace and not even know it. They could be 2 or 3 years old, and you have no way of knowing that unless you look at the date code on the tire, and you can. They're all dated. So you just need to make sure that you're not buying old tires. If you take a rubber band that's been sitting around for a long time and you stretch it, you're going to see cracks in the rubber, right? Cracks in a tire's rubber begin to develop over time. So they appear on the surface and on the inside of the tire as well. And this cracking can eventually cause the steel belts in the tread to separate from the rest of the tire. Improper maintenance and heat accelerate this process. So, you know, it's just something that we need to be aware of. Many automakers, including Ford, Nissan, Mercedes-Benz, General Motors, they tell owners to replace tires 6 years after their production date, regardless of tread life. Have you ever done that? I haven't. I mean, I bet the tires on my old Corvair are probably, 10 years old. I need to check those. Tire manufacturers such as Continental and Michelin say a tire can last up to 10 years, provided you get annual tire inspections after the fifth year. The Rubber Manufacturers Association said there's just no way to put a date on when a tire expires because of other factors such as heat, storage, underinflation, different conditions that can reduce the life of a tire. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration found that tires age more quickly in warmer climates. So it's pretty warm around here. Environmental conditions such as exposure to sunlight, we have that. Coastal climate, we don't have that. Storage is hard on a car and hard on tires. When they sit, they get flat spots on them, and you know, you get out on the road and you're wondering why your car's vibrating so bad. Well, it's because of the flat spots from it sitting in the same place all the time. Just a car sitting is a car that's going downhill. How you use your tires, you know, are they properly inflated? All of this can make a difference. If you want to know how old your tires are, there's a good article in Edmunds about how to read the sidewall of a tire. But to determine the age of a tire, you simply need to know its U.S. Department of Transportation number. Tires made after 2000 have a four-digit DOT code. The first two numbers represent the week in which the tire was made, and the second two represent the year. A tire with a DOT code of 1116 was made in the 11th week of 2016. That's pretty easy. I can even figure that out. Tires made before 2000, if you've got them on your car, you shouldn't. I mean, let's just leave it at that. If you're buying tires, don't buy used tires. If you're buying new tires, make sure you're getting a fresh tire. Ask them, when were these tires made? Do you check the food in your refrigerator or the milk that's been in there for a while to see what the last safe date to eat it is? Of course you do. Well, that may make you sick, but if your tires blow out on you because they're old, let's just say that the results could be a lot worse. So anyway, we'll take our last break and be back here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. Have you ever wondered why your car makes that thump, thump, thumping sound when you roll down the window in the back seat? You know, you've heard it. Like, you got kids in the back seat, and one of them decides to roll down the window, and you're going 50 miles an hour down the road, and all of a sudden it goes thump, 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 and you feel it on your ears. Why does it do that? And then you roll another window down on the other side, and it stops. Well, I can tell you why. Modern cars, trucks, and SUVs are very aerodynamic, meaning they slide through the air with the greatest of ease. When you roll down one of those windows, then you are messing with the aerodynamics. You're messing with the airflow. And so you've got certain pressure of air inside the vehicle bumping up against the pressure on the outside of the vehicle. And that's what makes that bumping noise. Even though you can't see it, that's what's happening. When you roll down the other window, it's relieving some of that pressure and equalizing the pressure more so you don't hear it as much. So you may ask, why doesn't it do it when I roll down the front window? Well, you can thank your mirror for that, because engineers have designed cars to be able to roll down the driver or passenger front window without having that wind buffeting, and the mirrors are very important in that role to break up the wind. And that's why they're shaped the way they are, so that you can roll down your window. Now, wasn't that nice of them, so that we could enjoy these beautiful fall days with the window down? Just make sure that that kid in the back seat, you know, that little switch, there's a switch on the driver's side door where you can disable those windows in the back. If they keep rolling down the windows, don't forget that's there. But if everybody wants their windows down and the sunroof open, then you won't get that kind of a buffeting. But I experienced that a lot several years ago, and was just wondering what the reasons were. So I consulted an aerodynamic engineer, and they explained it to me. So that's the answer. That's why you listen to this radio show, so that you can occasionally learn something that is of little or some value. And I hope you choose to listen again tomorrow to the next edition of My Car Guru. We'll see you then.